Well, in some Christian circles, Epiphany is a very prominent part of the church calendar. Actually, when I was growing up, my family would refer to January 6th, tomorrow, as being Old Christmas. And they would actually celebrate it, setting the day aside. Some streams of the Christian church actually give prominence to Epiphany over Christmas. But regardless of all that, and I know sometimes there's a debate, you know, what date was Christ actually born and all of that. It's fitting, though, to on this Epiphany Sunday to again reflect on the account of the wise men searching for the Christ child. So our Bible text today is Matthew 2. We're looking at verses 1 to 12. How neat that picture on the screen there. How fitting. We appreciate our media people and all that they do behind the scenes for us. So I want to talk about being wise men and women. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, and not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now, who were these wise men, or who were these magi? Myron Augsburger, in his commentary on Matthew, notes how that these wise men, magi, if you will, were skilled in philosophy and science and were known as men of wisdom and interpreters of dreams. They studied the stars, and they actually held that a man's destiny was influenced or settled by the star under which he was born. And if there would be some spectacular phenomena that appeared in the heavens that impressed them, that God was breaking into the natural order and announcing some special event. Now, those of you that would like to think a little bit more about the star, I would encourage you to check out from our church library a DVD which is called The Star of Bethlehem. The Dove Foundation said, "We gladly award 5 doves to this exemplary program." And it is indeed striking and thought-provoking. Do we think about the fact that the star was a real astronomical event orchestrated by a God of incredible order and design? He did it. That's how he works. This morning, however, I don't want to focus so much on the nature of the star. But I do want to focus on for a bit here on the response of the wise men. The bottom line is that the Magi sought after Christ, they worship Christ, and they presented gifts to Christ. And that's what I'd like us to think of this morning as being wise men and women. Let's start with that first one. The wise men sought after Christ. Now, Herod had been told that the Christ would be born in Bethlehem. How did anybody come up with that? Bethlehem, of all places? Why not someplace else? Well, it had been foretold by the prophet. And according to Micah 5:2, and that's what's referred to in our text this morning then, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be leader in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting." Now, being told that, Herod then dispatched the Magi. As it's recorded here in verse 8, he said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." Now, the wise men were diligent in their pursuit. They stayed the course. They traveled until the star stood over where this young child was. I wonder this morning, have you and I been diligent in pursuing the Lord? Have you been diligent in pursuing Christ? Some of you here this morning may have never found the Lord, and perhaps you're still searching. If you are, I'm glad you're here. I want to encourage you with a passage of Scripture that was instrumental in my entire journey and search. Jeremiah 29:11-13, "For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." If you're serious, if you're diligent about pursuing Jesus, the Lord will direct you to him as surely as he directed the wise men to the Christ child. "Seek and you shall find." But what about those of you that are believers? Are you continuing to seek the Lord? Are you seeking the Lord for guidance? You know, the star provided guidance to the wise men, but are you continuing to seek the Lord for guidance when there are things that you're trying to decide, perhaps decisions that need to be made, things that you're wondering about, things that you're facing? The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." Proverbs 3:5-6. What about seeking the Lord for the feeding of your soul? Jesus said, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone," not just by Christmas cookies, "but by every word which proceeds from the mouth of God." With that being the case, how are you feeding your soul from day to day? Now, is there something from the Scripture that you're reflecting on? When the new year began, I started a devotional book written by Henry Blackaby and his son. I forget what his son's name is. Is it David? But hopefully you have some means of meditating on the Scriptures, reflecting on the Scriptures, that is not just hit and miss. What about seeking the Lord that you might continue to grow in him? God's desire is that we bear fruit, in fact, much fruit. But how does that happen? It doesn't just happen automatically. It happens as we abide in Christ, as we continue to follow him. So we need to be lifelong learners. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, "But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So wise men and women continue to seek after Christ. Now, a second thing we want to notice here from our text is that the wise men worshipped Christ. Notice again here verses 10 and 11. It says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. Now, when I don't know about you, but when Diane and I are walking at the mall, and we see a small child or an infant in a stroller, perhaps she doesn't do this as much as I do, but anyway, I tend to, you know, to look directly at them, smile, and probably do a little wave, you know, seeing if they'll respond or whatever. What do you do when you meet a baby for the first time? I'll bet some of you ooh and ah. Or you will say, isn't that the most adorable baby that you've ever seen? Perhaps you'll notice some facial features or some, you know, whatever, the hair, and you'll comment about, you know what, they just look like your mother or your grandfather or something like that, right? Well, it appears from our text that none of those kind of pleasantries were done here. The Magi proceeded to what? Fall upon their knees and worship. To worship this young child. But then we need to realize that this young child was no ordinary child. This was the Messiah. This was the Savior. This was God having come in human flesh. This was the promised one. This was the one whose name would be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This was Jesus. Do you and I continue to declare the worth of our Redeemer and King? Do we continue to worship the Lord? Notice the call that was extended to God's people. I'm turning to Psalm 96. Won't read all of it, but let's look at verses 1 to 9 here. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him, strength and beauty. By the way, have you noticed how many times we sang or read this morning? It may have been just sort of subtle there, but the word beauty. Beautiful star of Bethlehem. It was there in different places. I just wanted to... Okay, where are we here? Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples, give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the what? In the beauty of holiness. That was that song we just sang. Tremble before him, all the earth. The psalmist said, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Sometimes worship, as we are engaged in this morning, sometimes perhaps it may feel a little mundane or a little routine or whatever. But has God changed? No, he hasn't. Perhaps we need to recapture a vision of who the Lord is and to recognize his majesty and his splendor and his glory and his holiness and the beauty of all that. So the psalmist said in verse 9, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. If we only look through human eyes, we might comment about our beautiful surroundings. You know, this is nice wood. What about the fabric? we might comment about that, or we might comment about the carpeting or the floral arrangements or the I guess the candles aren't out this morning, but whatever our surroundings have or are, we might comment about that and take that in. And that's a good thing, but if we look through spiritual eyes, then we also see the beauty of being in the presence of a holy, righteous God. We consider that the Lord is altogether lovely. He's altogether worthy. He's altogether righteous, altogether holy. Will you and I give priority to worship in the new year? Will we make worship part of our weekly routine? Will we worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness? So, seek after Him, worship Him. A third thing we notice in our text is this: the wise men gave gifts to the Christ child. And so we read in verse 11, when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, they fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their gifts, they presented to him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, many of us in our celebration of Christmas gave gifts to one another. In fact, the retail industry, you know, they tell us that for many, the Christmas season becomes their biggest source of income. And they would be, some of them, in dire straits were it not for all of that. But what we want to ponder this morning, though, is not what Christmas gifts that we might have received from family or friends, or even what kind of Christmas gifts we might have given. The question is, what ought we give the Lord throughout the year? One thing would be our tithes and offerings. And you know, I was just excited this morning. I picked up the Vindicator from the front porch and flipped through it before we left the house. And those of you that are daily readers of the Vindicator may know that they have a scripture in there for us each day. That is praiseworthy, by the way. You know what the scripture is this morning or today? Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. They even did it in the NKJV. I didn't even have to open my Bible for that one, huh? Wow. But there it is. Believers that practice first fruits tithing find that there is great blessing in this. In fact, it not only becomes a thing of joy, but many believers have testified that when they began to systematically practice first fruits tithing, they found that the 90% that was left after their tithes actually seemed to go further than the 100% used to before they started honoring the Lord in that fashion. The main thing, however, is that putting the Lord first honors Him. Another thing we can present unto the Lord is ourselves and the gifts that God has given us. In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul talks about there being many members in the body of Christ, and he points out that God has given each individual a measure of grace. And then he says this in verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Let us use them. So, our exercising our spiritual gifts, making use of them, is something that honors the Lord, and it becomes a blessing to other people. Psalm 90 is thought to be a prayer of Moses, and that psalm ends like this. Psalm 90, verse 17, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. there was that word beauty again. Did you notice it? Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands. There's also the matter of serving others. Jesus talked about this quite a bit. In fact, he made it very practical and very down to earth. And he talked at one point about how helping to feed the hungry or even giving a cup of water to the thirsty is likened to what? Doing it unto him. Wow. Now, the Magi gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Sometimes the thing for us is to give somebody vegetable soup, fruit, and cookies, right? Or whatever it might be. Serving others doesn't always involve food for the body. What may be needed is food for the soul. So the Bible says, how beautiful, in fact, we sang that this morning as well, are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. That's out of Romans chapter 10. How beautiful, how beautiful. Now, I may be talking more about that next Sunday. My sense at this point is that I'll be talking about getting out the word or getting out the good news and all of that. But for now, let's keep in mind that wise men and women seek after Christ. Wise men and women worship Christ. Wise men and women give gifts to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just are in awe as we think about what you have given unto us and what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. And yes, how beautiful that is and how grateful we are. And we pray that you would indeed continue to reveal yourself to people all across this planet, and that people might experience peace with you and might experience in their own hearts and lives that peace which passes all understanding. So, Lord, be at work. Thank you for the opportunity to be a part of that which you have planned in our part of the world, and we just look forward this coming year to how you will direct us, how you will lead us, and what you will accomplish. But help us that we might always honor you in all of it. In Jesus' name, amen.